All right, we're going to continue our series on faith for today. This is the second part. And I've been thinking about this for a month or so, different things about, what God says about the topic of faith and how important it is for to walk in. I try to preach on faith at least once or twice a year specifically because it's so important. Because some of you have a certain thing probably in your pocket or somewhere, one of these, right? Maybe not to a Ford Fusion, an old one. But anyway, that's our old car I've been driving here a little bit. But anyway, you have to have one of these to make it work. It's a key. And faith is the key that unlocks the blessings of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. So if you don't have one of these, you can't start your car. And if you don't have faith, it's very difficult to operate in the kingdom of God. So that's why it's so important that we want to grow in the faith. Now, the word faith is both a noun and a verb, right? This is about as English as I go. And the faith is what we call, is a noun, which means that we're a Christian or a follower of Christ. It means that we're a member of the faith, okay? Now, faith is also a verb. Now, we need to walk in faith. And this kind of faith is action because faith does. Faith is action. So the question I have today is that if we do not have faith operating as a verb in our life, do we really have faith as a noun? And that's a challenge that we need to kind of contemplate. Scripture I want to look at, very familiar, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval." That's verses 11, 1 and 2. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the stirring of faith in each of our hearts. Lord, I thank you as a believer we have the faith. But Lord, we know that we need to have faith operate in our life. That means we have to release our faith. That means we have to stand in faith. And Lord, that means we also have to walk in faith. And Lord, right now I yield to the gift that you put inside of me. Lord, I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And also, Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last week, just a small little bitty recap. That we left off at the point that we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. Okay, so remember, last week we looked at the fact that this book in the Bible, Hebrews, was written to Hebrew Christians. And these Christians, due to problems going on in their life, persecutions, different things, they were turning away from the Christian faith and some were going back into Judaism. You know, like today, some Christians may get disillusioned, with church or with God, and they go back into the world. Same thing. And we got to make sure that we're not of that group. Want to make sure we're of the group that is always persevering for the soul because, the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, So our soul is what we're working on right now. When you're born again, your spirit is made brand new. Boom, just like that. You're a new creation in Christ. But what happens then is the process is that we have to renew our mind because we live in an environment that's anti-God. And that environment exercises influence on us. And then it causes us to operate out of fear and fear of lack, fear of failure, all these different fears going on in our life. So we live in troubled times and sometimes we get stretched a little thin. So that's why we need to fight back. Now, the first point I want to look at, and this is really what the Lord has been speaking in my heart to launch this series, is it says, now faith is, or now faith was. See, a while back I got to thinking. How many hates it when Pastor Brad gets to thinking? Because something's going to happen, right? When I tell you I've been thinking about something, it's usually something, I'm going to drop some sort of bomb. And what I want to challenge is, in the idea of faith, it says here that now faith, needs to be for today. See, we can't live on yesterday's faith. Because yesterday's faith is past. But we have to live on today's faith. You know, what do we want to do today? What do we want to step out and what do we want to see accomplished for God's kingdom? See, we have to find ways that you and I can increase our faith. Because you say, well, I don't have a lot of faith. Well, you have some. Amen. Because God promised us that he's given us each a measure of faith. So you have some faith. And you have enough faith to get saved. Right? You know, so you take God at his word and believe that Jesus died for your sins and that he rose from the dead. And that's important that we believe that. And it's, our faith is based on the Bible. Now, I was witnessing to somebody the other day, and, you know, they said they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe it's true. But they believe in Jesus. So I said, well, how can you believe in Jesus if you don't believe in the Bible? Because you wouldn't have known about Jesus if there wasn't a Bible. They're yet to get back to me on that. You know what I mean? I think they're still thinking about it. See, we have to have trust in God's word, and that's just something, you know, that we have to see developed in our life, have to start to operate and act upon. See, so now faith is for today, and we got to get to that point in our life where we're starting to walk by faith. Now, the thing that really stuck out to me when God spoke this into my spirit is that now faith was. You know, sometimes when you look back at the olden days, anybody ever look back at the olden days? You know, in the Bible, it talked about the children of Israel, and you know, the first temple kind of got messed up, and so they built another one, you know. And it says when some of them saw the second temple, they started to cry. They weren't maybe tears of joy. They were tears of bummer, man. It was a smaller temple. It's like you start out with a Ford Navigator, then you end up with a little Fusion, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like that. You know, they just, it wasn't really, you know, what they were wanting. But anyway, that's what was there. And see, the old days, see, sometimes we get locked in the old days, but one thing that I see that was a blessing of the old days is what I'm going to say right now. See, in the old days, you know, back when I first got saved, churches met three times a week. You had your Sunday morning service, then you had your Sunday night service, then you had also a bonus service on Wednesday night. And what it is that Christians, the majority of them, we're faithful to all those services for the most part. Not all. But, you know, things have kind of changed. Now, there's some churches that still hold on to that tradition, and I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but one thing I'm saying is that there was a lot of word being put out. Now, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So, Christians would subject themselves to more preaching, and so evidently, you know, they had a little deeper level of faith, I think sometimes more than we have today. Now, I'm not saying just attending church is the key because you also have to pay attention. Amen? You know, wouldn't hurt if you wrote a few things down every now and then. You know, just so you remember them. Maybe you got a perfect memory. I don't. You know, in Bible school I learned the first thing they taught us was the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. You know what I mean? So it's good to write things down and just kind of see, you know, what it is, you know, that God, you know, has to offer for our life. And so we need to pay attention and be a part of that. So getting the Word of God, you know, in our life is so important. Now, what happens today is the fact that sometimes a lot of Christians don't attend even on Sundays. You know, and how that works. And what I'm saying is I know, you know, we're busy, but sometimes those things, they come in and see, the world gets us to be distracted and it tries to rob our faith. It tries to steal from us. It tries to get us to pull back, you know, on the things, you know, that we know and what God's wanting to do. And my goal is to try to energize our faith. Energize our faith. Because what I found, and it can happen because, you know, many of you know, I was a bivocational pastor for a lot of time. I still do a little bit of stuff, but I do it more for fun. But, you know, when you get spread thin, it's hard to keep up on everything. But one thing we have to do is we always have to maintain our level of faith and getting into the Word of God. See, there's three most important things that we do when we come to church. Number one, and that's first for me, is the Word. We get the Word of God in our life, amen. You know, and we hear the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. You know, that's why we need to prepare our hearts. You know, why does the devil get husbands and wives in the big argument on the way to church? You know, that happens sometimes. You know, where the kids get all, you know, annoyed and whatever the case may be and get stirred up strife, and he's trying to steal the word out of our heart, because that's very important. That we get the word of God energized in our life, and we're a word church. We believe in what the word says. We believe in what the, you know, the Bible says, and the Bible has a final say. And that's why we need to make sure that we prepare our hearts, you know. Maybe don't stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning and go to church and you're tired. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to, you know, think this out a little bit, what's important to us. So then we have worship. You know, we worship God in a lot of ways. We worship God in our giving, but primarily worship's talking about when we do the singing part, right? You know, hopefully, you know, we enter in and we forget about what's going on all around us. And forget about the person singing behind us that sings out of key like I do, you know what I mean? That's why I stay in front, you know, so I don't mess anybody up by sitting behind them, you know. But I mean, it's important that we worship God. You know, that we just, you know, if you can, get to the place in your life, you don't have to, but raise your hands a little bit, you know, and get to the place of surrender, saying, God, I surrender all to you. I mean, I remember first starting out in that, and, you know, it was so intimidating to raise my hands. Everybody else in that church I went to was raising their hands, and I was just sitting there like a, you know, I wasn't even Baptist, you know. I was just, you know, I was nothing, you know. I was just kind of the frozen chosen. And I just, you know, finally it got liberating. So we do the word, and we do worship, and when we worship, and, you know, and when we're all of one accord, and we're crying out to God, all the presence of God. Amen? Amen. So you think, well, I'm not important. That's why I don't go to church all the time. Yes, you are. Because you have an anointing. Yes. You have an anointing on your life. And when you raise your voice with our voices, you know, it increases all our faith. And the anointing of God falls. And thirdly is fellowship. You know, we fellowship with each other. We talk to each other. We encourage each other. How important that is. You know, that's why it's good to, you know, come early and stay late. Amen. You know, try to get here and, you know, work the crowd a little bit. Build some relationships with people. You know, try to enhance that part of our life. Because if we have all three of those things operating in our life, we're going to be a stronger Christian. We're going to have the support of the word, the support of the worship, and we're going to have the support of other believers working in our life. And we need that. And that's why we cry out to that and want that in our life. See, we are chasing, you know, what problems we have sometimes. We're chasing after me instead of chasing after we time. You know, everybody needs me time, right? You know, and this is what I tell people. If they're all stressed out, I've watched them, you know, because I watch people, because that's my part of my job, kind of pay attention to the flock. And, you know, if I see somebody all stressed out and all tired out and everything, and, you know, they're going to first thing they're going to tell me, I'm so tired, I just need a nap. No, you need to get in the Word, because you got spiritual fatigue going on. You know, and that's why we got to stay connected and build up spiritually. Psalms 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. See, that's the attitude we need to have. And I know, you know, I've been serving Jesus for a long time. You know, not as long as everybody here. I know there's some people who have been serving even longer than I have. But I'll tell you what, we need to have that attitude that we look forward to coming together to worship with each other and to see God's kingdom come. That's a good attitude. So what I was saying, you know, now faith is, or now faith was, is the fact that I want to get to the part of the idea that what we're really called to do, what I'm called to do, and what you are called to do, make disciples. We're called to make disciples. And how important that is. You say, well, that's the pastor's job. No, that's all our jobs. Now, the word disciple, we know, is a disciplined follower. And we, you know, operate in the things of God, and we encourage each other and come together. And it's important that we see that we have a part to play of that. See, one of the problems in our culture is the church has devolved into being consumer-driven rather than discipleship-driven. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples. That's what the church is supposed to do. But sometimes what we do, given the culture that we live in a culture where everybody wants to be entertained, okay? You know, we have, you know, so many things at our disposal. You know, there's so many videos and all these, you know, effects and pyrotechnics, you know, bombs, you know, on TV and all these things going off, that our mind has gotten to the place where, man, if it's got to be big or I ain't going to watch. You know, it's got to be something awesome. or I'm not going to spend my time there. And see, we've trained ourselves that way. And what's happened then is we are judging everything by what's in it for me instead of what's in it for we. And it's important that we come, you know, back to the idea of what's in it for we. Most churches try to get people to come and then they try to get them to stay. And what happens with that is that it waters down the message sometimes. And that's kind of, God bless you. What happens then is it causes us to water down that word. And it's important that we want to do evangelism and to reach people. But, you know, we got to make sure that we keep our integrity of what God's called us to do. Because I don't know how it works for you when you read the Bible. But when I read the Bible, sometimes it brings correction to my life. I read something and it's an area of my life that I'm not quite there yet. It's something that maybe I've done wrong. And God reveals it to me in the Word. Now, I'll tell you what. I like it better when God tells me what I did wrong than when my wife tells me what I did wrong. Can everybody say amen? Come on. Right? Wouldn't you rather God tell you privately instead of the other way? You know, so that's why it's good to get into the Word of God and allow Him to correct us and bring us into the people that we need to be. Because many churches today care more about counting people rather than converting people. Now, I believe converting people's where it's at. I personally, as many of you know my testimony by now, a little bit of it, I went to church over a year before I got saved. I attended faithfully every Sunday. I mean, you couldn't keep me out, no matter how late I was out, because believe me, I was out late on Saturday night, you know, because I wasn't there yet. You know what I mean? You know, I went out into the world, but it didn't matter how late I was out. I knew there was something at that church, something I really needed, but I didn't have a clue on how to get it. So I lived like that for a year. Just waiting, hoping something would happen, and finally it did. The power of God hit me. Amen. And changed my life. And see, that's why it's important. But that, you know, I was listening to some of the best word being preached in Denver, in my opinion, you know. The church was a powerful word church. Believed in the Bible. I'd never heard anything like that, you know. I just kind of had my own thing I believed in, you know. I wasn't really biblical, but I had my own belief system. But, you know, little by little, God was getting into my life and was building faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And the more of that I put in, then the more of that came out. And then it started to see change in my life, and that's why it's so important to have change in our life. So that we can walk in the things that God wants us to have. Now, some people are private people. I know that's how it works, right? That's why some people are scared, you know, to get into a small group. But small groups are powerful. Amen. You know, I know some people don't want you to get in their business, but man, we need to get in their business. You know, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be in each other's lives. Iron sharpens iron. You know, as we get to know other people, you know, I learn a lot from other people. I listen to them. I listen to their faith story. I listen to what's going on in their life and how all those things start to happen. And it's just powerful. And that's why, you know, we want to get to the place where we're trying to really promote more small groups. I want to call them grow groups because they grow in size but also in depth. That's what I'm looking for as a pastor. I want to kind of turn the corner with our church to get to the place where we do more discipleship, where we start to see people mature in a deeper way. Because I believe also it's a great place that we can develop leadership, you know, in a small group system and training people so that they can accomplish more things for the kingdom of God. See, that's really what we need to be. You know, we need to stir each other's faith. You know, and I know sometimes, like say, people's, you know, private, I was. But when I found out the need to get connected with other people and how important that is, and it was life-changing. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written. I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also spoke. See, getting together with people of like precious faith. You know, we probably in this room believe a lot of the same things, especially if you've been here for a while. You kind of get into the flow of our belief system on our flow, how we look at the Word of God, how all these things operate in our life. So then, you know, we get together with other people of like precious faith. It's important because then we start to grow. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go to conference or I go to other places, have you ever met another Christian and boom, all of a sudden, it's like you've known them forever. It's that like precious faith. We're on the same wavelength. We believe the same way. We have the same worldview, and that's what it is that you and I have to develop and how we look at those things. We need to get together with people like that because faith connects us with God, and faith also connects us with other people. Nobody can do it alone. Many have tried. All have failed. You can't do it alone. Christianity is not a religion, but a way of life that incorporates the fact that we're a body. And a body needs each part. Body needs each other. So what is this kind of faith we're talking about? I'm glad you asked. Right? Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Bible. Okay, the Amplified Bible. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now that's important as we look at that. And then hopefully you have an Amplified Bible. If not, you have the Bible app, you ought to have that. And it's good to kind of look at different translations, isn't it? Because what the Bible is, it's God's words, you know, his thoughts put down on paper. And the Amplified Bible kind of, you know, puts a few more adjectives and adverbs in there, you know, to kind of paint a better picture. And that's all good. So this is where I want to look at the idea of faith for today. This is called one of the classic faith scriptures right here, Hebrews 11:1, talking about now faith. So it talks about the assurance of things we hope for. Now, I do know this, and I just want to say this out loud, that when we release our faith, sometimes there's a little bit of time between when we plant the seed until we see the fruit. Okay? Now, some of you garden, quite a few of you do. Now, when you plant that seed in the garden, let's say it's a bean seed or something, and you plant it on Monday, work hard, tilling up that dirt and putting it all in order and everything, and then you go out meticulously and plant those nice little seeds and put them in the ground, you cover them up a little bit. You don't go out on Tuesday to harvest, do you? I mean, if you went out there every day and dug up your seed, you'd kill it, wouldn't you? It'd never get a chance to grow. So we release our faith, and then sometimes usually there's a time frame in between. Not all the time, but quite a bit of the time. I'd say more times than not, there's a little bit of time frame in between. But yet, we still need to release that faith. Now, this says here is the assurance, and it's talking about a title deed. Now, many of you probably have a house. If you're not renting, you have either bought a house, excuse me, let me get a little drink here, and you bought this house. Ooh, wow, that really worked, didn't it? Woo! I got to tone it down now. You bought that house, and if you got it paid off, you get this piece of paper, and it's a title deed. And that deed says you own that house. Now, you don't get it till you get paid off. I mean, that's just the way it works. I mean, I remember the day we got the title deed to this building, praise God. You know, that was 15 years of pain and torture for me, you know, paying this thing. You know, but it's amazing, really, when you look at it. I think it's appraised at $1.7 million now. Of course, that's what the insurance company says. You know, I don't know. I think they do that just to raise the rates for your premiums. But anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But see, when you have that, did you know you can actually call a realtor? They tell you about a house. You buy the house. You haven't even seen it yet. And you pay the money. They'll mail you a title deed, and that house is yours, even though you've never seen it yet. And see, that's what the faith is. Faith is our title deed. The title deed says, I own that, what I'm releasing my faith for, and it's mine. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's mine. Now, be honest, this separates the men from the boys. You know what I mean? Because it takes a little bit of faith, it takes some perseverance, it takes some patience, all those lovely things we love to discuss, right? It's easier discussing them than having to live them, right? How many would rather talk about patience rather than be patient? I mean, most all of us, right? I'd rather, you know, just talk about or tell somebody else to be patient rather than to be patient myself. But see, that's what we have to do because, you know, what we see here as faith is the title deed, so that means faith takes God at his word. You know, when we see something in the Bible that we says is ours, faith appropriates that, and we take it. Now, the problem you and I have to overcome is that you and I, we have two operating systems operating inside of us, okay? We have our belief system, and we have our unbelief system. Both of those are working in our life right now because we live in a fallen world. We have even though we've been born again, we still live in a body, and we still have some carnal thinking. Oh, don't we? Come on. We all have some wrong thinking, right? So we're not there yet. We're not perfect, and we won't be perfect until we go to heaven. So there's things that you and I have to cipher through, and to deal with. So we got that belief system, an unbelief system. See, the unbelief system operates by our senses. Simple. Let's say you have sickness in your body, something going on there, and you pray, saying, God, you know, I thank you that by your stripes I was healed. Well, then you still hurt. So which one are you going to believe? You know, I've been, you know, working out a little bit, and I worked out in the morning for a little over an hour and beat myself to death, you know, about dropped a weight on my head. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. But then in the afternoon, I went out to the reservoir and walked. And I haven't done long distance walking for a while. And I was all about 20 some minutes into my walk, and my knee started to hurt. I didn't stop. Mainly, I didn't have a ride. You know, I knew I had to get to the car. And I just kept saying, God, I thank you. Arthritis is out of my knee. This arthritis ain't going to stop me. And I kept going. Because I didn't want to stop, because I have been invited over on a mission trip where I'll probably have to do a lot of walking if I go. So I need to get myself better in shape for that. I'm not going to wait till the day before I go and say, oh, I better work out. No. But see, my unbelief system wanted me to stop. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you do if you stop. I know if you stop running, you can walk. But what do you do if you stop walking? Crawl? You know? I mean, think about it. What do you got? There is no options, really. So it's just that process of confessing and fighting the good fight of faith. And it's just as simple as that. Everyday life, that's an everyday life situation that we try to overcome these things. Because, you know, our unbelief system is carnal by nature. Romans 8:6 says we must be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. See, what our mind focuses on depicts the system we're operating by. And what I mean by an operating system, you know, you got an operating system in your computer, right? You know, you got Windows 11 out now. You know, or you have Windows 10. You know, maybe you're old school and have Windows 7 still. But anyway, that operating system is what makes that computer work. And see, our unbelief system or our belief system is what makes us work, how we live our life, what we do. You know, and it's, you know, not exactly everything that we do in here is important. It is word, worship, fellowship. But see, that's, you know, we're here maybe an hour and a half if I really get long-winded, right? And We're out there a bunch of hours. It's what we do out there, having to try to operate on this. Now, the belief system operates based on the Word of God. The Bible says it, and I believe it. So when we read something in the Bible, you know, the Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, do we believe that? Have you ever seen anybody rise from the dead? Huh? I haven't. It still happens today. I've heard about it. But I've never seen it with my own eyes. Never seen it. Do I believe it? Do I actually believe that God can raise somebody from the dead? Well, that's very important, isn't it? Because the cornerstone of the Christian faith is that Jesus had a bodily resurrection. If we don't have that, we're off in the weirdness. You know what I mean? Anything goes, you know. But the Word says this, so I believe that. That's what we've got to say. Well, if God can raise somebody from the dead, well, what else can God do? Huh? What can God do then? Amen. I mean, that's pretty big. Amen. So we're going to hold on to that. You know what I mean? Hold on to that faith. See, the Bible says that I believe it. And then also, God's Word has the final say, exclamation point. Exclamation point. You know, we read something in the Bible, and we don't go get other opinions. You know what I mean? Have you ever had somebody, you know, I'll be honest, you could probably find somebody to side with you. There's enough people out there that are messed up, you know what I'm saying? That we can get anybody, we can find somebody that'll believe wrongly with us if we wanted to, if we looked hard enough, especially with the internet. You can easily find somebody that would side with you on your opinion that's different than God, but we can't do that. See, God's Word has the final say. And see, when we say that, when we start operating by that system, when we start to say, put God at His Word, and God says this, and so I'm going to do that, I don't understand it all yet, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Because God said so. So Ben's God said so, that's good enough for me. Okay, well then, we step out of the unbelief system, and now we're in the belief system. Now when we get into the belief system, there's a lot of extra things that start to work for us in the kingdom of God. Then we start to see some of those blessings, some of those things that's going on around there, you know, that we start to tap into. We start to see, you know, some of our prayers answered. I mean, I'll be honest, I mean, it amazes me. I mean, it's been about, 3 weeks ago, I prayed this little doodad prayer. I mean, I really wanted it, and it wasn't nothing for me, personally. I wanted something to happen here at church. I wanted these people to do something. I never went and asked them. I prayed, and this is something they've never done for years. I said, God, it'd be really nice if this happened. And it did. I was going, whoa, why didn't I pray that a while back? You know what I'm saying? I mean, but it was just some little thing, but it was important to me. Because it was important to me as a pastor that I was able to see some sort of a spiritual gain in somebody's life. And so God answers prayer. Amen. And He'll do that. And so, but, you know, I've lived a life where I've learned how to trust God. Sometimes it takes a while to see the manifestation, but it's worth it if you get it, right? How important is that? So then it goes on to say convictions of things not yet seen. Faith is a fact. You know, faith is a fact. So when we see something by faith, it's just a fact. It's like it's real, it's true. It's just the way it works. See, faith sees what cannot be seen with the natural eye. Jesus, when He was walking, and He did this as an example, but there was a fig tree. And He went up, and there were no figs, so He cursed it. I'm sure the disciples were looking at Him, what's that all about? He's talking to a tree. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever talked to a tree? You know, we talk to a lot of crazy things, don't we, sometimes? But anyway, they probably looked at him and said, okay, went on. Next day they went back and that tree was dead. Dead. He cursed it and it died. I mean, that probably got their attention. How important is it that we learn how to see that faith is fact? Jesus, when he cursed that tree, he saw it as dead, even though it wasn't dead yet. I mean, that's powerful. And then he went on. Didn't get obsessed with it. Just went on and did his thing, and it died. So faith sees what you can't see with the natural eye. See, faith treats as fact that which is not revealed to our natural senses. Like I say, this is separates the boys from the women, or boys from the men, or yeah, whatever. And then we get confused what you say these days. You got to be careful, don't you? That's not gender confusion. I'm not talking about that. But anyway, you know, it separates. And that's why we got to step out from the crowd. We got to step out. We got to step out in faith. Amen. You know, and be that kind of person like Peter when he got out of the boat. See, faith steps out and has corresponding action. Peter stepped out of the boat and, you know, he had to step out. He had to get up. He had to actually leave the boat, you know, to step out in faith. And how we learn to do them things is powerful. So faith treats everything as fact. See, faith holds on in the face of contradicting circumstances. Now, Peter, hang in there for a minute, but when the waves got too big, I mean, to be honest, here you're defying gravity, and he's worried about a wave? You know? I don't know. He's out there on the water. What difference does the waves make? And that's what we need to see. When we step out in faith, what difference does the waves make? What difference does the circumstances around us make? It doesn't matter. A miracle's a miracle.
Amen.
Amen? And we have to see it that way. So what are some of the contradicting circumstances that we all face? Well, broken relationships. You know, we live in a world of misunderstanding. Have you ever had a misunderstanding with one of your friends or somebody you have a relationship with? They heard it wrong, you said it wrong, whatever the case may be. Well, those things can have an effect on us. Maybe a busy lifestyle. You know, we get stressed out. You know, everybody goes in cycles sometimes. We get all stressed out, but yet, you know, all these things are trying to rob our faith. These are contradicting circumstances that try to rob from us. Sometimes we have emotional problems. You know, maybe you have a loss of something, maybe a loss of a loved one. Maybe you have disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed? I think we all have. You know, maybe even, I'll be honest, I've been disappointed in God. I've maybe wanted something or tried something and it didn't work out, and I just felt a little disappointed. You know, it's a real emotion, it's a real feeling. And how we deal with those things. You know, we can't let those things pull us back or hold us down. We've got to let go of those things, you know, and stay positive. Sometimes we have marital and family problems. You know, maybe you have issues going on with your spouse sometimes, just not seeing eye to eye. You know, those things happen. Then the kids, you know, people a lot of times fear the terrible twos. Wait till the teenage years, right? You know, I'd rather have the terrible twos anytime. You know, but those things kind of come in. And sometimes, more month than money, we have financial problems, job loss, things break down. Sometimes we have sickness, all these things. They come in, they're real problems that you and I have to deal with in our life. And, you know, when we don't have those problems, I mean, everything's sailing pretty good, but every now and then, we're going to have those. So what do we do? Do we quit? Do we throw in the towel? Do we get mad at God? Those are all things we do, right? We have problems. Or do we stand in faith? Do we trust God? You know, God who parted the Red Sea, God who parted the Jordan River, the same God who brought the walls of Jericho down. All those things. You know, we just have to hang in there and hold on to God. So what I want us to see too is we are what we eat. We are what we eat. I'm not talking about weight right now, but to overcome difficult circumstances, we need to have the right diet. Now, when you make food, I'm sure we all cooked before, right? I sometimes wing it, but a lot of times I read a recipe. And if that recipe calls for milk, I don't add grape juice. If I had a grape juice, it wouldn't get me what I wanted, would it? Or if you had a recipe and it calls for sugar, well, I'm out of sugar. Salt looks like sugar. You know, it calls for a cup of sugar and I put a cup of salt. It look alike. But see, I changed the ingredients. And so if we change the ingredients, we can't expect to get what the recipe says we're supposed to have. And see, that's how it works with us in the Bible. See, we need the right ingredients going into our heart. So if we want faith, but we only put fear in our heart, it's not going to work. If we want to be spiritual, but only put carnal things in our heart, it's not going to work. And if we want to spread the good news, but only listen to the bad news, it's not going to work. See, it's important that we follow the recipe. God's word has the recipe inside of it. What it is that we can have if we do it his way. Amen? I'm going to stop right here. I have another big part to go through, but I'm going to save that till next week. But I'm going to close right now. And I want to challenge us today to be able to reach out and receive from God. Maybe you're believing God for something right now. But the first thing I want to offer today is a chance to have a relationship with him. The importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That if we died today, we'd know we'd be in heaven with him for all eternity. You know, a lot of people say a lot of crazy things. You know, I just, on the internet, Arnold Schwarzenegger says heaven's a fantasy. You know, that's unfortunate. But heaven's real. Why? The Bible says so. I believe the Bible says that when we die, we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Our spirit and soul got on to be with him. But it's not automatic. We have to surrender our life. With everybody head bowed and eye closed.